You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with David Randall. His book is The Monster's Bones, The Discovery of T-Rex and How It Shook Our World. Our protagonist, Barnum Brown, has found the thing itself, a T-Rex that nobody's ever found, but he's found it in pieces. And that means going back out there and building the T-Rex as best he can in his own imagination. He's back out in the Hell Creek Formation, 1904 to 1910, searching for T-Rex bones. But we need to attend to his life at this time as well. He marries Marion Raymond, and they have a child, Francis, in 1902. That doesn't keep him long in New York, I understand that, but it's his family life. And my impression, David, from reading is that he's deeply in love with Marion Raymond. Is that your impression as well?
He is. He was somebody who... He grew up on the farm in Kansas. He always felt like he was constrained, and he always wanted to see as much of the world and experience as much of the world as possible. Marion, when he meets her, is the first person who makes him feel like he can stay still, that he can be content and he can be in one place. And he really finds in her what he's missing in himself. So she becomes his companion. That in the summers, they go out into the field together to search for dinosaurs. She's one of the few women who can be found on paleontology digs. And then during the year, she's a school teacher at a school for science-focused high school in Brooklyn. He works in the museum and stays in New York over the school year. So they really kind of fill in what the other one was missing. When Osborne asks him or tells him that the T-Rex he's found is not good enough, essentially, to put on the museum floor, and tells him to go out and find another one, Marion is right by his side.
Yes, and they return often to Hell Creek, to Jordan, Montana. And in 1905, year after year, they're going out for these expeditions, searching in the area. They find, my note says, a T-Rex skull, 800 pounds. Now, just a pause. How do you get an 800-pound skull from Hell Creek to New York City's Upper West Side? How did they do that? In a specially built wagon?
They had to do a lot. Especially built wagon. They had to make pulley systems essentially out of nothing in the frontier. There's one part I write about in the book that Brown has, you know, the most complete T-Rex specimen ever found, and he has a team of horses dragging or pulling it, and the wagon keeps breaking down. The horses in the wagon just aren't strong enough to carry it, so he has to leave it there, the T-Rex, and, you know, ride a horse 40 miles away to get essentially reinforcements to come back with a heavier wagon and more horses, and just hope that nobody will come by and destroy the specimen.
He's building the T-Rex in pieces. He's going back out to Hell Creek all the time. Is he joined by the other museums? I didn't see reports that Carnegie or the other museum, Field Museum, is chasing. Has Field peeled off for geology at this point?
So Field has, one of the directors of the museum, Field Museum, essentially thought that dinosaurs were a fad. And this was a key error for them, not only because they had been among the forefront of dinosaur and paleontology discoveries. A Field expedition found the Brachiosaurus, which is a very long-necked dinosaur. The front legs are longer than the back legs. and they made a very sudden turn. And it wasn't until the late 90s or 1990s and early 2000s that the Field Museum had to purchase a T-Rex to essentially get themselves back into the dinosaur game. But Brown is working alone in Montana because they haven't really revealed the T-Rex to the world yet. Osborn is working on the scientific description, and he's going to take the honor of naming the T-Rex. But it will be several years. It won't be until 1915, actually, that they display the full T-Rex. So Brown has this section of Montana to himself, and he makes very good work of it.
Tragedy. One afternoon, Marion and the child Francis go for a walk in, what is it, Prospect Park, somewhere in Brooklyn.
Prospect Park in Brooklyn, yeah.
And just like that, they're both struck down by scarlet fever. There's no medicine for this in 1910. Francis survives. Marion dies. Does that untether Barnum Brown? Does he write about this tragedy?
He feels in many ways that he is not worthy of raising Francis alone. And this is something I was surprised by, is something that was very similar among men of that era. Teddy Roosevelt, he famously lost his wife too, and he also gave his daughter to her maternal grandparents to raise. So Brown, he doesn't know what to do with himself, and essentially he tries to find the hardest work that he can find. If he almost feels like he can, if he goes into the field, he can escape his pain, and if he keeps moving, like Teddy Roosevelt, that feeling of anguish will never catch up to him.
That's when he went to Canada. He went to even more severe conditions.
Exactly. He went to Canada, which is the Red River Valley, which was some of the harshest conditions on Earth. And it was there that he had that solitude and poured himself into the landscape and almost felt the landscape healing him in some ways. And he feels his desire to find bones again coming back. But he maintains this distance from Frances. You know, there in the book, I write about how as a teenager, she would go to the American Museum and walk through these exhibit halls where all of the bones, all the dinosaur specimens were found by her father, and try to search for a connection with him, trying to find what it is that some kind of, well, what was missing in her life through these specimens of creatures that died, you know, 60, 50 million years ago.
It's October 1915. The mounting of the T-Rex is revealed to the newspapers, which dominate like the internet dominates us today in the 22nd century. The New York Record has the best quote. New York Herald. Behold the Tyranno as he must have lived, looked in life. Behold the Tyranno as he must have looked in life. But you make the point, David, that there's a painting nearby that even does more than bones. Who did the painting?
I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name right now, but he was a early paleo artist, and this was a very key part of paleontology, was that you had to not only have the bones there, but you had to make people realize that this was full a description of a specimen that came from a very full life. This was the most radical part of a dinosaur exhibit and a dinosaur specimen, was to really show people that the world has, as you see it now, is not the world as it's always been. That, you know, Manhattan or Kansas or Montana was once the middle of what looks to our eyes as an alien landscape. And paintings made it feel immersive in a way that bones themselves did not.
Right. And I looked up the name while you were talking, David, because I couldn't remember either. It was Charles Knight.
Charles Knight.
And is that painting still at the museum? I've never seen it.
It is. And one thing I wanted to mention about Charles Knight, too, now that I remember his name and it comes back to me. One thing I found so fascinating about him was that he was essentially legally blind. He had to get very close, then use this ability. His imagination was able to paint these very detailed worlds that his own eyes couldn't see.
Now, importantly, Barnum Brown lives another many more decades. He dies at 90 in 1963. He's world famous at the time, although David had to recover him for me because I'd never heard the name. And David and I tell similar stories, which I've waited to the end to tell. When did I discover the T-Rex? It was when my son took me to the American Museum of Natural History. I think he was 4, 5, or 6. What is your memory, David? We have 30 seconds.
My son, we went with our family, and we went to the museum, and our son was 4 or 5, and he asked, you know, we'd walked by the T-Rex several times, and finally he asked, who found these bones? And it was the first time I ever realized that there's human stories behind these prehistoric fossils.
David K. Randall. The book is The Monster's Bones, The Discovery of T-Rex and How It Shook Our World. I am certain that the next time you all visit the American Museum of Natural History, you'll wink at the T-Rex and wave to Barnum Brown. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase